I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Whoa!
Ooh, and Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Michael, cracking a crispy coldy cracker.
Little SFX. I'm drinking an ode to Rooster McConaughey's son, a Miller Lite.
Yes, yes. You got to love that can, the Miller Lite can. L-I-T-E doesn't even say Miller on it. They just trust you know.
Have you driven by the, is it a brewery or like a distribution center where like the giant silos?
Yeah, probably a distribution. Yeah, yeah.
They're painted like giant cans.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
You know why that can just says Lite on it is that back in the 70s, Miller bought a company called Lite that just made light beer.
Oh,
and that's where the Miller Lite came from.
Were they like the first group to do light briskets?
They had that whole thing where men didn't want light beer. So then when Miller bought it, they had to be like, tastes great and it's less filling. And they didn't even broadcast the fact that it had lower calories because men were like, I want calories, man.
I need my calories.
I want to be fat.
I want every last calorie there is.
I went to the grocery store today.
Nice.
Hoping to find some of that Topo Chico.
Okay.
Oh, that's out now? I mean, it's out in stores?
Seeing it out in the world, but couldn't find it today.
Ooh, that sucks.
You struck out. Wait, and Mike, why do you have to ask? Do you not listen to Booze News? It was covered on this broadcast.
Booze News is kind of like, I sort of tune out until I have something to say about Booze News.
But
I'm kind of done.
You're over
it? That's a moment for me to take a break and just charge up for the drink.
Oh, it's boy. Times like this I wish I could just kill you.
And how would you go about doing that?
Well, I would buy a firearm, but, you know, with background checks and all that stuff. There's just too many obstacles to buying a gun.
Then I guess I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Now, hey, we mentioned, a type of seltzer.
Sure.
Yes.
And that brings us into a little type of a segment that is called Bip, 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 Bip. Hit it.
Ooh. It's Booze News, you filthy animal. This just in, Vermouth Month has been cancelled.
Negronis will fuck you up.
A bull shot ain't bullshit.
Life is a golden dream.
The Bud Light Seltzer Sweater Pack isn't even a cocktail, but whatever, it's Booze News.
I like my Russians white. Wait, that sounds bad.
Breaking news. Cuba Libra's in. Rum and Coke's out.
Booze News, you fuck.
What's the matter? Can't you handle a little booze news, you twat?
Oh, nice.
You twat.
Wow.
Sent to us by Company K. That had a little bit of a Ferris Bueller kind of a thing.
Yeah. I believe it did, Tim. That sounds like this person was typing, doing that like type speak thing.
Yeah, they used all the accents, didn't they?
Man. Well, the file is called Text to Speech Reads the Booze News.
Well, there you go. I thought I heard toward the end there, was that a Wilhelm scream? That, the famous film scream. If you've got a Booze News theme song, send it into the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com. Okay, guys, what do we always pretty much talk about in the segment? We started the show and we said, let's be on top of what's happening in the culture and the zeitgeist. And every week we pretty much end up talking about
seltzers.
Seltzer's the thing. Good God. Let's get away from the seltzer.
Well, you want to get away from it, but at the same time, it's like that's what's happening out there. So we're like grizzled journalists who are getting drunk and we're mad that we have to cover
it. So we're gonna still talk about
I
wouldn't make us talk about a boring aspect of it. There's something interesting that happened because we talked about the Topo Chicos. We do whole episodes about the Bud Light. But who started it all?
White Claw.
There you go.
White Claw.
I found this was very interesting. White Claw has just now launched its first ad campaign. Its first real global.
Wow.
Because they never needed to. They let social media.
It's just been word of mouth.
Isn't that crazy? Like the summer of 2019, it was all just word of mouth and it was a viral. People made enough memes about it. And you had people saying, ain't no law when you're drinking the claw. And none of that came from White Claw.
People should make more memes about us.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, geez. Slopheads, get on it. Hey, also, make us a fucking Wikipedia. We don't know how to do that.
Oh, hey, now we're getting somewhere. Put us on there. None of us have individual pages. It's crazy.
No.
I don't think so.
I'm an Emmy nominee, okay? Put that on there. Tim Kilpatrick is Emmy nominee. Source needed. This is a stub. The White Claw. So they just came out with this ad campaign and it's called Let's White Claw.
No.
Kind of like, how do you White Claw?
Yeah. It was so much better when they were just crowdsourcing and letting people do it. Like, I mean, well, they can't say ain't no law when you're drinking the claw, but I mean, but Let's White Claw.
Let's White Claw. They came out with a commercial. They've got commercials now airing on TV.
The Mersh?
The Mersh. And we haven't seen these yet. So I wanted to send you guys the link. Gadoosh, here's a 1 minute commercial from White Claw. And I figured this would be kind of a cool live watch type of thing where we hit play together.
This could be a popular video, like Sloppy Boys react to.
Exactly. So if you want to start at the very beginning and we have to say 3, 2, 1 play, and then we'll all hit play on the word play and you know, share our reactions as we watch.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And what's going on? Should we say what's going on or are we trusting you at home?
We'll describe what's going on because I guess I have an image in my head of what I think White Claw is, but I have no idea what the company thinks they are and who what they're going for.
Right. Are you guys ready to click play?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Okay.
So it's sort of a Lizzo knockoff.
Okay, yeah.
Black and white.
Oh, very much a Lizzo.
People in balloons. Some skateboarding. Yeah, that's sort of what I thought of.
Look, they're young. They're hip. There's a lot of sports going on. Roller sports.
Yep. Roller skating.
Very skateboarding. Cool. Headphones.
Hip. Very hip people. I'm surprised we're not in this.
I think I caught a glimpse of us in there.
Disco ball in the fridge. That's...
Oh.
We're dancing. We're cheersing on the beach at night.
Cheersing on the beach. That's what kind of, yep. A little volleyball, good.
I'm seeing a lot of dyed hair, a lot of cool looks.
Yeah, it's just sort of like jumping around, throwing paint around here.
We're shaking our hair.
Uh-huh.
Is this not the real Lizzo, Jeff? Is this a knockoff?
If I was Lizzo, I would be embarrassed if I followed up.
Okay.
What's feeling good as hell?
But that piano loop, though, I definitely know that as a real song.
Wait, Jeff, that what you just said, that the good as hell, that sounds a lot like the song I sang when I met Lizzo that one time. Remember I had the diarrhea
I had
to shit myself, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to check for turds, I think, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Now, was that a blowout?
Yeah, in one way or another, it quite was a blowout, Jeff. Blowout my ass.
I gotta say that the name, Let's White Claw, I was getting ready to hate that. But I think that they kind of, it's hard. Coolness is a hard thing for an ad campaign to do. But those people were cool. And it was kind of scrappier, like a shaky camera, chilled out, black and white. I was afraid it was going to be really glossy and cheesy.
Well, you know, what it reminds me of is like Levi's had a campaign that was all black and white and sort of Kerouac-y like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was it was called like Get Lost or something like that.
Get Lost, asshole.
Or like Wild and Free or whatever. But you know, they're trying to be cool. They got the coolest people they could find to look like they're having fun and we're all invited. So,
you know what I thought there, that it was all black and white. And I thought to myself, White Claw is not a black and white company. This is exciting stuff. And then when they show the can at the end, it really pops off the black and white. So yes, now I'm getting it. Now I want to actually enjoy this thing.
Okay. Do you think that was intentional that when they show this commercial, they're hoping people would want to drink the drink from it?
Yeah, by the end, they want people to drink it.
I mean, it does stand out to, if you're the biggest drink, if you're the big beverage and you have a black and white commercial, you're zigging when they expect you to zag, you know?
Ooh.
They feel like they got it in the bag. They don't need to impress us. They're just like, we're White Claw. You know it. Let's White Claw together.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Don't do you remember us, get to the core us.
Some of the first videos we made before Birthday Boys even, we were like, hey, yeah, we'll make internet videos and our thing will be that they're in black and white.
Yikes.
And then And then IFC, when we did have a show, was just, we had some sketches that were in black and white and they were like, please don't do black and white. If you see our metrics, it's just an instant turn off.
Like, people
instantly change the channel if it's black and white.
Well, that's why Clerks 2 was in color, because the studio told Kevin Smith, like, we will not make a black and white movie. So it's this or nothing, dude.
Yeah. And they even, IFC was even like, sepia, please, sepia, that's fine.
Just put a little brown in there. And we were like, hey, we got brown in the back of our pants. We're fine with putting some of that on the screen.
Yeah, and not just a little.
We're talking long logs, folks.
I can't get away from this stuff.
Can't run fast enough to get away from it.
Hey, speaking of brown and White Claw, they also, just to button the White Claw bit, they just put out an iced tea. They're kind of following
a boozy iced tea?
A hard iced tea. I feel like Bud Light has already done that. And
yeah, so is like Truly. I feel like everybody's sort of like, well, we're doing the seltzer. Now we're also doing lemonades and iced teas. And
it's a lot. It's too much to try. There's too many companies trying to keep up with each other and copy this person and do
and
that.
And it's not like we were all excited to have infinite choices of malt beverages.
Right.
We just wanted a nice light alternative beer. Hey, Tig's in the house.
Okay, we got to pause booze news. We got fan favorite Tig.
Tig.
Oh, she's trying to tickle me.
Hey, Tig, tell us, what do you think of iced tea? Do you like iced tea?
Do the kids even drink iced tea anymore? No, she's shaking her head no.
She
could not be less interested.
It's got too much caffeine for the kids.
Do you want to tell them about the fort we made?
Oh, we made a huge fort.
Was it safe?
We made a huge fort. We got.
Is it regulation? Is it up to code?
It's your apartment, right? You got your...
No, I'm going to sleep in it tonight.
You're going to sleep in that fort?
Now, what do you like iced tea?
No.
Why not?
Because it has caffeine in it.
Oh, and you need to sleep. You need your sleep.
Now, yes. But Tig, we know that you like milk, right?
Yeah.
Do you like the taste of milk?
Yeah.
Having good milk since the last time we talked to you?
You could have any drink in the world. What is it? I want to know what the kids are thinking these days. What's the best of all drinks?
Vitamin water.
Hey. What flavor?
Red.
No. Nice try, Jeff. All the colors.
Purplish one at the dining hall.
Dragon fruit?
Power C?
Dragon fruit?
No.
I think it's grape.
No, it's like purplish.
Grape.
Maroonish?
I'll take purplish.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
Sorry to ask such a... We really didn't mean to ask a personal question that would send you into a quandary.
I'll take purplish vitamin water. That sounds great. As good an answer as I was.
Purplish vitamin water is the top. The tops.
You heard it here first, folks. Purplish.
At the dining hall.
I'm not sure what they have there.
And it's at the dining hall.
We'll check it out for sure, and I'll keep everyone up to date.
Get on down to that dining hall, folks.
She's going
to
go ask her dad. Slamming the door. For those new to the podcast, that is niece of the podcast, Tig Hanford.
Ooh, the official niece of the pod.
Niece of the pod.
Want to have a pod? You got to have a niece.
Well, Tim, you got a niece of the pod. Oh, do I have a niece? No.
You weren't sure?
No.
Yeah, I got a niece of the pod, Scarlett, and I'll find out what her favorite vitamin water is.
Whoop, pronto. Here comes the update.
What is it?
It's pomegranate.
Pomegranate.
Yeah. There we go.
Pomegranate vitamin water is the fave.
You charged back in. You knew you got the answer. You were ready to announce it to the world.
You asked Dad, and he said pomegranate.
Dad always knows.
Okay. So we're going to wrap up Booze News. Are we wrapping up Booze News?
Yeah.
All right. Get out of here, you lovable little scamp.
Oh, my God. He threw her out the window.
There she's gone.
She's gone. We got to alert child services
right,
to something.
I'll be out in a minute. No.
So you're telling me we're going from Booze News to Bee's Knees?
Whoa.
That's right,
come on
Jeff.
Now.
That is right.
What's next? Buzz Nuzz?
Hopefully.
Who knows?
Butts Nuts?
The plan was to do Butts Nuts next, if you're okay with it.
Well, let me get into this drink here. So picture this.
I'm picturing it.
It's 1920 and the Sloppy Boys are walking down the street in our short coat tuxedos and patent leather shoes. We are dressed to the nines, swanky. I mean, we look downright fire AF. And we duck into an alley and find a craggy old wooden door and give it a knock, knock, knock. And a little window on the door slides open and we give them the password Blind Tiger, and the door opens. Inside is a raucous party filled with music and flappers and illegal hooch from wall to wall. This place is the cat's pajamas.
The cat's pajamas?
This place is the cat's pajamas. It's Hotsy Totsy. In other words, this place is fire AF. We find a place at the bar, order ourselves three orders of this week's cocktail, the Bee's Knees, and quickly get ourselves spificated. Folks, it's the Bee's Knees today.
Whoa, wow. Brother.
Did you guys feel like you were in 1920s New York City?
I legitimately was afraid that the cops were going to arrest me for having a drink.
Did it feel like I was reading that, or I was just kind of coming up that off the top of my head?
I thought you were spitting it from the dome.
No, Mike, cool. I felt like I was walking down the street and knocking on a craggy door.
Yeah, the door is craggy. Yes, today we were talking about Prohibition-era drink, the Bee's Knees.
Now, you mentioned the cat's pajamas.
That's right.
I always feel that's the other way. You know, when you have like a... When you have a dress-up party and we're like, hey, it's an old Gatsby thing or whatever, I feel like Bee's Knees and cat's pajamas are the two things that people say too much.
I agree. But that I looked it up, and this word, the Bee's Knees phrase, came from the 18th century, and it first meant something that is very small and insignificant. Like
the knees of a bee.
Like the knees of a bee, or Tim, like that little thing you're always poking around in your underpants.
To be fair, I am always poking it around in there.
Small and insignificant. No, it's significant. It's significant. It has significance.
It's good.
It has a lot of meaning to a lot of people.
But then for somehow it just like became to mean something that's cool or swell. And I think people think that it probably just became that because the structure is the same as like the cat's pajamas. Or the flea's eyebrows. I saw a few more of these and I wrote them down. The cat's whiskers, the eel's ankles, the elephant's instep, the snake's hip.
Is it always
hip.
The animal's
Yeah, thing? The animal's something. Hmm. The capybara's spats.
Hmm. Yeah. These are all stretches.
So this is one of those drinks where There is, like, I went on Wikipedia and it's a very just like, the Bee's Knees was invented by Frank Mayer, an Australian-born part Jewish bartender who was the first head bartender at the Ritz Paris in 1921.
Ritz Paris?
Yeah. Mm. When its Café Parisien opened its door. But there are other stories that, like, so maybe it started there, but it got big in the U.S. during speakeasy days because people were drinking a lot of bathtub gin, and the ingredients, which I'll get into in a second, cover up the bathtub gin taste, which is probably pretty intense.
The hooch taste.
The hooch. So let's see. I guess we can talk about what's in it. That's it. I'm sure there's different ways you can make this thing, but who cares?
This isn't a cocktail podcast where we care about that type of shit. No, I agree.
No, I mean, like, oh, what are the variations? Yeah. You know,
blah, blah.
You don't have an internet on your phone. You can't find this stuff out.
So the big one, though, that we discussed is, like, do we do the version with orange juice or not?
So here's a recipe we have on the IBA. We got from the IBA, which, as this is an IBA podcast, that's what we're going with. So 1.77 ounces of dry gin. Uh-huh. 0.75 ounces of lemon juice, 0.75 ounces of orange juice, and 2 teaspoons honey syrup. Stir honey syrup with lemon and orange juice until it dissolves. Add gin and shake with ice. Strain into chilled cocktail glass. That's interesting, letting it, like, adding the booze last. Huh. Like, doing something with it and then adding booze and then shaking it.
Well, Jack Schramm would like that because he's a big advocate of adding booze last. Hey, I looked up honey syrup.
Uh-huh.
It's not just honey.
Oh, shit.
It's honey syrup.
It's half water, half honey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can make
same way that simple syrup is one part water, one part sugar.
Yeah.
Honey syrup, one part honey, one part water.
So you can make your own honey syrup.
Yeah.
I think that, yes, you can make your own honey syrup if you have access to water.
And honey.
Sure.
I think that that's just almost the thing that just makes it more pourable and workable for a bartender. So they do that. And then I did it half and half, water and honey. And then I've seen other places it's like, you know, it's better if it's 2 parts water and 1 part honey.
Yeah.
So I, you know, whatever. Honey syrup. The idea is that it's you mix your honey with some water.
Yeah.
Get off our backs about it.
So the big debate, other than the honey water ratios that we've talked about, is orange juice or no orange juice.
Oh, here we go.
Here it comes.
The big debate.
What the damn hell are we doing with this stuff? Because we've seen a lot of, I mean, the IBA website is still down. We all know that. And that sucks. Those people need to get their act together.
That just really sucks.
That really sucks for us, for the listener, for other booze IBA podcasts out there. So I think we're going to start with the orange juice, but we saw so many that were just like, didn't have orange juice in it at all.
Yeah, I think that the vast majority of cocktail recipes we saw, they don't put orange juice. And I do think the original one that we would have had during Prohibition is just gin, honey, lemon. So and honey is the active ingredient. So this OJ, the IBA is doing something kind of weird, but we are committed to being an IBA podcast for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
we painted ourselves so in the corner.
Even though it's weird, I think we should try it with the orange juice, our due diligence, and then maybe later I might mix up a second round and do it the non-orange juice way to try the original old guard one.
Now, so it's gin and lemon, so I'm already thinking Tom Collins.
Yeah.
Mm, maybe that's the orange juice kind of is the deciding factor to pull it away from
it. It's funny, you know, I was just thinking, you said this was invented at the Ritz in Paris, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that I've never been there, but I think that was sort of like the cool, immovable feast type of, like, all the American writers were hanging out at that Ritz in Paris in the 20s. Mm-hmm. And what's so weird is that they didn't have Prohibition there. They had Prohibition in America.
Yeah.
So why are they using bathtub gin and why are they covering it up if they're in France where you can drink whatever the fuck you want?
That's a good question, Tim. That is a very good question. I don't know the answer, which
I'm not going to sleep a wink tonight.
Did you guys know how long Prohibition lasted for?
It was 9 years, I think.
Huh?
Nine, I guess.
Nine. Jeff, what's your biggest guess?
10.
13. It's 1920 to 1933 from the Wikipedia I read.
That's wild.
1930. That's so funny because the stock market crash was in 1929. And in my memory, it's like the same day the prohibition ended. But then I'm starting to think there are certain little aspects of American culture that I just don't know every single thing about.
Yeah. History.
Fuck it all.
Well, shall we?
Let's make this damn thing.
Let's make one of these big orange juicy drinks.
Yeah, mix it up in an orange juice peel.
Folks, we'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey folks, we want to slow down for a second and talk about a podcast we love called You Are Worthy with Lil Mookie B. It's a podcast about empathy, therapy, positivity, and love, among others. Comedian, actor, and social media influencer Michael Mookie Blakelock, aka Lil Mookie B, began attending therapy just a few months ago. And instead of keeping the gifts of therapy to himself, he has decided to spread the love and positivity throughout the world by sharing the message of therapy and making sure that people understand that they desperately need therapy too, so that they can be just like him and have empathy just like he does. Wow, what a mission he's on. Each episode, Mookie welcomes your favorite comedians and improvisers, other than himself, of course, upon the podcast. As if that wasn't enough, he will share with you what he's learned in therapy that week, lead you through guided meditations and affirmations to help you through your boring everyday life, and answer life advice questions from listeners whose lives are falling apart. It's a great podcast. What can I say? We love Mookie. He's helping people. He's doing the work. You have to check it out. Listen everywhere podcasts are listened to, and remember that you are worthy with Lil Mookie B. Back talking the bee's knees.
We got the bee's knees happening here.
Whoa,
guys, this one was a little this was a pain in the ass, huh?
Well, the numbers were weird. How am I gonna get 22.5 milliliters? Come on.
I wish I had done the syrup ahead of time, or like
me too,
the syrupy stuff.
My honey was old. I had like an old Sous Bee.
Oh yeah
honey bear. And you know, honey doesn't go bad. That's one of the good things about honey. You can keep it for years.
It just goes shitty.
Yeah, it just gets like shitty and hard and doesn't really dissolve well.
I had pre-mixed my honey syrup thinking I was oh so smart. And then I fucked up mixing. I put the wrong measurements of some stuff. And then luckily I had used what we learned in cocktail class.
Mm.
I hadn't yet put in the gin, but I put the wrong amount of shit in and I dumped out. I said, I'm starting from scratch.
Well, shall we sip?
Yeah, this smells pretty good.
Don't get swayed.
Here we go. Okay.
I rather like that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do find this to be the eel's hips.
Yeah.
Yes, the elephant's pantaloons.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think this is the bear's ass.
The bear's big bloody asshole.
You know, after all our fretting about orange juice, you don't even taste too much of the OJ. Hey, this is a springtime cocktail, right, guys?
Oh, hey. Now you're getting it. Yes.
I feel like buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm a little bee out there in the meadow picking up a little pollen from the lemons, a little pollen from the oranges.
Yes, yes.
And then I crank them into my own honey.
It is funny to think of, like, you know, at the time, like a swinging party and it's raucous and like you're not supposed to be like doing this thing. It's illegal. And it's like, ooh, I'm going to have this illegal drink. It's kind of like a punch.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about honey as a flavor? Not the biggest fan.
I could put it on some oatmeal to help out there.
I'd put it on some bunches of oats.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a fine flavor. It's not something I'm eating on its own.
I think I associate it with like tea when I'm sick or something. And so I just like, I'm not crazy about honey.
That's funny because when I was mixing this up, I did got a whiff of the honey and I was like, this tastes like old granny tea or smells like it's going to be old. But then in the concoction here, it doesn't taste like honey. It tastes floral. Everything is floral.
Well, Tim, that's why they added it, to give it that floral flavor.
Mm.
You know what I forgot to do again? And I always forget is to chill my cocktail glass.
One of these days, Mike, you had a smoldering hot cocktail glass, didn't you?
I accidentally, first, before I got lemon juice, got lime juice. And I'm thinking to myself, I got lemon juice finally, but I thought to myself, lime juice might be okay here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it helps with the spritz.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't spritz me.
Don't spritz me. I wonder how they're doing.
Those the Germans,
I bothered the
at the pool.
What'd you guys use for ingredients?
Top of the line. Artisan craft.
Ooh.
My gin was Gordon. Is Gordon's gin? Is that
okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gordon's gin.
Oh, yeah.
Gordon's
dry. So that's a dry gin. What's Tanqueray? Is that dry?
That's wet.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I think it's sopping. The drippiest gin they got.
That's a moist. That's a moist.
Moist.
Gin.
People don't like that word moist.
Moist. Especially when you say it like this. Moist.
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 I kind of like it.
I read an article about this because I wrote a sketch about words that turn people off. And the most popular one is moist. And the second most popular one is panties.
I don't like panties. That's a tough one to say.
This is kind of like almost like one of those cilantro-y things where there's certain people that are like, yo, and other people are like, yeah, I guess it's kind of gross. When you think of moist and panties, Jeff, do they...
Well, thinking of them together, that's different.
You set us up for that.
Because I read like a academic piece about this, so I want to know what you think. Do you think it's something of the actual sound, or do you think it's just the words, what they mean?
Wait, Tim, it was an academic piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably read the same one.
But you don't remember it at all?
Yeah, who wrote it? What professor actually did end up writing that one?
So wait, you know enough of the professors in...
Yeah, I know a lot of the professors who write a lot of the intellectual pieces.
Jeff, Go ahead, is amazing. Mike is like basically a genius.
I know. I can't believe we have him here
this. No, get out. Let's get off me, Jeff.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm running out of steam here.
So the content versus... form versus content is what we're talking?
Ooh. Yep.
The content doesn't bother me in either case. I for whatever reason, just like syllabically and like the vowels of panties just feels like I don't like saying it.
Well, according to Mike's professor friends, it is not the sound. Ooh. It has nothing to do. They said that that the word panties and the word moist have nothing in common. They had 10 other words that people had flagged, and there was nothing linguistically about them. But if you're a prudish little Puritan like Dutton, and you think, oh, panties, get them away from me.
No, that's not what I say. I say, call them something else, but send them my way.
You know what I don't like? It's not a word, it's a phrase. Crisp cock scraping against the asphalt.
Crisp cock?
There's something about
those
that
words.
And it's something about the syllables, because I wouldn't really have any trouble with the meaning of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, that is alarming to me. Like, moist, I have no reaction to. I feel like people shouldn't have a reaction to that. Other weird ones, though, I thought were month. I'm surprised nobody reacts poorly to month.
People love vermouth month.
Sure. Or another one is a sedan.
Wait, Tim, sorry. This professor said what about the words? That it's not the meaning of them, it is just the sound?
It's the content.
Opposite. Gotcha. They couldn't find anything that any of the words, like the top 12 gross out words, they had nothing in common sound wise, and there was no reason for it. So they do think it's just the meaning. Month? I've never heard month.
Do you remember one time at the birthday boy's house, we were watching that 70s show? Not a show that we watched really on any regular basis, but there was a part where Foreman was, Eric Foreman was having some sort of fantasy about daydream about going into his girlfriend's house and seeing her panties.
Yeah.
And he was like,
panties.
Yeah. He's like throwing a big pile of panties in the air. He's like, panties.
Well, yeah, because it was like Donna found somebody else's underwear and then she had a dream that he was like a panty baron. panties everywhere. I was thinking that 70s show, I didn't like watch it. I wouldn't say I was like a viewer of it.
Uh-huh.
But to me, when I think of multicam sitcoms, and I think, what was the last one that was good?
Yeah.
I mean, Seinfeld is probably the only show, multicam sitcom, that like meant something to me.
It was like truly good.
But I feel like that 70s show was the last multicam sitcom that I would catch every now and then and be like, yeah, it's funny. I like it.
Right.
And now when you try to, like, the networks insist, like, oh, yes, the live audience. Oh, my. Oh, the performance style, the tradition. But it's garbage.
Yeah, I can't do it. People point to Everybody Loves Raymond as like a good latter day multicam.
Robert.
And I think that one, like, as far as post Seinfeld, there are maybe only those two shows that I think of.
People like the Gerard Carmichael show. I missed it.
Right.
Oh my God.
Ah, Tig.
You scared them. They were scared. She didn't want to say goodnight before she wanted to creep it and scare you.
You freaked this out.
I gotta change my pants.
She's been scaring me all week. Everywhere, every time I turn around, she's jumping out and scaring the heck out of me.
Oh, and she's quite pleased with herself after scaring her uncle's podcast mates.
Yeah. You're an agent of chaos, Tig. You have no respect for the order of this podcast.
Look at her squish the windscreen on the microphone. She doesn't care about anything.
Her mom is asking if she is trying to get her to bed. Are you sleeping in the fort tonight? Ooh.
I might.
Okay.
Off she goes.
A terror.
She wanted to scare you.
Well, I had something I wanted to ask you guys.
Yes.
Mike, you had mentioned we're talking a lot about one citrus fruit, and then you mentioned a different citrus fruit.
Yeah, lemons, limes, oranges, sure.
Right. So I was thinking about how, when it comes to those citrus fruits, you know, if you're, let's say you're drinking a Mexican cerveza, right?
Mm-hmm,
some people will think of a certain one they want to squeeze in the top of that long neck bottle.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun thing to do in the summer. You get a nice cold cerveza and give it a little squeeze.
Pop it down the neck and you put your thumb on the bottle and you tip it upside down.
Get a little glug, get it all mixed up in there.
You seem like you're trying to avoid saying a specific fruit. But
no, I'll say anything. That's not the thing. But what I was getting at with you guys was, I guess I have my answer already. You guys seem pretty chill about that whole thing, right? Like, you're like, yeah, cool.
No biggie. Sure.
You can squeeze it and you use the fruit if you want to. And I would characterize you guys being more casual about it, as opposed to like, you're not more in like the Eric Clapton camp about how he feels about all of it.
No.
About what Eric Clapton feels about it. I don't know about that.
We're very citrus positive. I don't know about Eric Clapton?
Yeah.
Well, and you're like chill about it, and it just doesn't weigh heavy on you.
Yes. Right. Right. Specifically, it seems like you want us to agree. We're very chill about the certain.
Well, it's a lighthearted type of topic for you guys.
Yeah. Why should I get serious about this?
Well, I like that that you guys don't get you don't get like all morose about it. But
Yeah. No, not morose.
Do you know this thing about like how Eric Clapton wrote a song about it?
What? No. No.
Well, it's honestly not his best work, but. He's just so he can be kind of a heavy, dour kind of a guy. And
yeah,
I just feel like he's taking things a little bit seriously here,
especially when it comes to citrus. It sounds like.
Right. And like beers and stuff along those lines.
Okay.
And stuff. Okay.
And stuff along that.
I mean, I feel like I could describe it all day, but what if we just listened to the song?
Here we go.
If I had beers with lemon,
lemon.
Modelo Tecate.
Whoa, it's a weird way of saying that.
Or Coronas with lemon. If I had the loot,
he's very rich.
I'd buy the right fruit. But I don't. Can I substitute beers with lemon?
Just heavy, you know? It's like, what's
yeah. He's not chill like me and Mike.
No, it's.
Lime is best, hands down. Lime is nice and green. Mm-hmm.
It is nice and green.
He makes a good point there, I'll give you
that. Yeah.
But the only wedge I got. Is a yellowy lemon squeeze.
Yeah. Yellowy lemon squeeze. Oh.
Oh, and by the way, COVID is a.
What was that? I didn't get the end. What did he say at the end? You spent more time with this track, Tim, because.
Yeah, what did he say at the end?
At the end, he said COVID is a hoax.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know
Eric,
what that is?
Eric,
it's probably because him and Van Morrison made those songs protesting the lockdown. That's probably what
right. That's
about.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. So, he's using lemons, but he wants to use a lime.
Well, most people with a Corona, you squeeze a lime.
That's what I was assuming.
But I just feel like I'm kind of in your camp, like with you guys. If you don't have a lime, squeeze a lemon or just like whatever, you know?
Tim, you're with us. Yeah. We know.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So the three of us like agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that got me thinking. The whole song I was thinking, I've had beers with lime in it. Mm-hmm. I've had beers that have an orange in it.
Mm-hmm. Blue Moon.
A Hefeweizen, a Blue Moon, mm-hmm. a Shock Top. Have I had a beer with a lemon in it?
You know, I don't think that I have. I've had a Leinenkugel summer shandy that is lemon beer mixed together.
Yeah, that's probably the closest I've had, too. I've never had a beer with lemon.
I don't know. Maybe we're coming around. Maybe it is sort of a taboo topic that's bumming us out.
Yeah, that is kind of a bummer.
It's kind of the cool thing about art is it can change the way that you look at the world.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's the lemon's fault. It might be. I think it's more the honey, but I will say I've got a bit of a mucus cloud in the bottom of my bee's knees right now.
You got a sludge. I got some sludge.
Were you spitting into that glass the whole time?
I was doing more than spitting, Tim, if you can believe it.
Oh, I can believe it. With you? Yeah.
Going back to the words that we don't like, mucus is one that I don't like because of, like, if I go to a water fountain and see, like, a loogie in there, I, like, will throw up. It's,
I think that's...
Phlegm and loogies and
you
mucuses.
Can't see a loogie?
No. No, I don't like it.
I'm on loogie.com all day, scrolling, swiping.
Loogie.coobie.
Speaking of disgusting bodily things, mm-hmm. doesn't your grandfather have a funny way of pronouncing feces?
Feces?
Yeah.
So insane.
I don't know if that's, yeah, I'm not sure if that's how he thought it was said or just like, he said it as like a joke.
I heard my grandfather say pornography.
Like instead of pornography?
Yes. So I was like, wow, what a old fashioned sweet man. he said, I heard him say forno and then pornography.
He's so unfamiliar with it.
It's like, porn spelled with a zero.
But in his head, he was like mashing together fornication, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
And pornography. But I remember even being like 13 being like, that's not right.
And then afterwards, was he like, yeah, I'm on Pornhub all day. I got a Pornhub premium account.
Maybe Tom Potter's onto something.
Check it out, Jeff. I got an 8-inch forn. Grandpa.
Grandpa. Poke that thing back into your underwear.
That thing ain't the bee's knees, Grandpa. Well, I think it's time for me to mix up another little VN, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So what's the approach?
BK, I mean.
BK? That's Burger King already.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Burger King, your way right away, you guys, let's do a second round. Mix it up the way that you choose. I personally am choosing to forego the orange juice this time. And I'm looking at liquor.com. It says 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of honey syrup. I'm going to just try that and see how it stacks up.
I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do lime instead of lemon.
Oh, Timmy, could you send that out? Could you text it to me?
Yep.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And we're back, round two.
Yeah, baby.
Looks like a bee's knees of an entirely different color.
What'd you put in it, Jeff?
I did the liquor.com recipe,
which
I think will be better.
Mm-hmm. Let's dive in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I already like that. It's simpler.
Better?
Yeah, I mean, it's more funny lemony. Because mm-hmm. that first round was like, a lot of different flavors balancing each other out, and it's a nice, you know, balance or whatever. This one doesn't have that, but it's like, I like it more because it's like gin and lemon, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one with the lime, there's a reason they're not putting lime in these things, I think.
You did a lime?
Is no good. Is no good.
it's no good? It's fully bad?
No, it's not fully bad. It's just, it just tastes like a different type of drink. And like, lime and honey are not...
Right, because had you used sugar... Mm-hmm. You would be drinking a gimlet, and that's a good drink. But honey and lime, you can't have a tropical lime and an old granny honey.
And that's okay. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, and now I'll never drink this again.
Look, life is weird sometimes.
Can be.
It can be. But I like this one. Maybe it's just the measurements we were using from liquor.com. But Jeff, doesn't this seem a lot stiffer? I'm sipping it out of my coupe glass, and it's like a martini. It's harsh in a good way.
Yeah. I use different honey too, which is a little easier to work with. But what I've learned from this is that I don't like working with honey. I should have prepared my honey syrup in advance. And then also, I don't like drinks up. Give me that ice.
Oh, interesting.
Any drink is better with ice.
What if you have a beautiful coupe glass that you want to use?
I don't have one. Maybe I need to get a good coupe glass that I can get excited about.
Jeff, do you want to transition seamlessly into your final take?
Mm. Oh, sure.
Doesn't that sound like a great time to do that?
And I think this is a very average drink that is totally fine.
Order again?
I would order it again, but like, not a priority.
Gun to your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. My take is thus.
Wow.
I will order this again when I go to a speakeasy-ish type bar, a cocktail bar. I will not go to a regular, bar, your neighborhood bar, where you're mixing it up with Joey and Tommy and all the gang.
Yeah, you're giving Terry a knuckle on his head.
Come here, you son of a...
Get away, you little noogie man.
And while I'm doing that, mix me up a bee's knees. No, I will have this...
A pitcher of bee's knees is for the boys.
I will have this at like that at a speakeasy-ish type place, cocktail bar, or a wedding if they're to have somebody like that at the wedding.
Michael, if I may.
You might.
I thought of a distinction that might actually work for what you're saying.
A certain distinction?
Well, this would be a different certain distinction. This one I call When in Rome.
Oh, that's a good, yeah. Oh. This is a WIR for me.
Yes.
I like that. I think that I like this one because I am a little bit partial to gin cocktails. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm a little more amped on this than you guys just because I like it a gin and it's floral and it's nice. I wouldn't. When I'm at the corner bar watching
with
the
Terry
game,
and Bobby.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, hey. If the Rams get this touchdown, I'm buying bee's kneeses for everybody in the place.
Bee's kneeses.
Bee's kneeses.
Well, you guys, you're the types of guys who realize that this is bathtub gin is sort of what was being made here.
Sure. Yes. That's kind of the common narrative of Prohibition is you got a lot of cheap bathtub gin, so you got to cover it up with other flavors.
That's right. Now, you also understand that my favorite band, Fish, has a song called Bathtub Gin.
I thought they had a song called Wilson.
I thought they had a song called Guyuti.
Well, you guys might be very good at this quiz. Hit it, Jeff.
Oh. It's the Bathtub Gin Quiz.
You greasy physique son of a bitch.
A little booze news.
Wait, what did he say? You greasy what, son of a bitch?
You greasy physique son of a bitch. The drummer of the band, one of many nicknames is Greasy Physique. That's a little hidden egg, Easter egg for all the fans, PH fans out there.
That's a hidden egg. Wait a second. I'm the Greek physique. This guy's the greasy physique?
Okay, he can be.
Grease? The fuck?
Fishman?
So this... Ooh, Jeff, interesting. You are on your way to possibly answering one of the questions.
What about Gordon? What about Trey?
Okay, easy, guys.
Let's start the quiz. I want to see what this is about.
So this is just, you know, do you guys, how much do you know about fish? Here we go.
Oh, no. This sucks because I've seen them four times, but I've never been really paying attention.
I kept it pretty light and loose.
Okay, great.
Fish formed in what city?
Burlington, Vermont. Count it.
Timothy.
Shit, I should have known that.
You should have known that, Jeff.
I'm from New Hampshire, and our two states, 69.
Okay.
I read a book called Heads. It kind of gave the backstory on all the jam bands.
You guys were on this. This one, I'm going to need you to do a, say your name to buzz in because it's kind of a long answer.
Well, okay. For me, that's going to be Tim.
You guys already kind of had this. Name the members of Fish.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Trey. Yep. Anastasio. Mike Gordon. And Fishman.
And?
Oh, I didn't know there was a fourth.
You've seen them before.
He plays the keys, I know, but.
Yes.
Now, Mike, would this be the guy that, like, if you're getting tickets, you would say, like, Gordon side or blank side?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Starboard. Starboard side.
Well. And I said, now, if you can just name me what instruments are in the band.
Well, he's the keyboard guy.
Okay.
Guitar, bass, drums, keyboard.
Tim.
Oh, geez.
And what was that guy's
jumped
name?
Jumped on that.
I know.
His name is Paige McConnell.
Paige McConnell. Page side, baby.
Page side. Rage side. Page side.
Oh, rage side. That's the Morello side. Come on now.
Okay. This is... Whoever answers closest to the number I'm looking for wins the point.
Yes.
What year did Fish form? So each of you can guess on this one.
1984.
And you said 92?
Yeah.
83. Tim, 83.
Wait a second. Now let me take you down from Burlington to Rhinebeck, New York. 1983 is where I was born.
Great. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good, yes.
Yeah, it's really good.
What band did Trey Anastasio play with for their run of 50th anniversary
Dead.
Shows?
Fare Thee Well, Grateful Dead, Good Dude, Chicago, okay. Soldier Field. My boy Mike was there.
There for two nights, snuck in first night. Here we go.
I'm getting shut out.
Where did the three of us see Fish live?
Forum.
Hollywood Bowl.
Who said the Forum?
Jeffy.
Jefferson did it.
Hooray.
Wait, we saw him at the bowl as well.
I don't think Jeff was at that one.
Oh.
You have to listen to the question, Tim. We're the three of us. It's sort of a numbers game.
Can I, Jeff, Jeff, can I tell a story about you at that show?
Yeah, go for it.
I just, Michael barfed.
All right, hold on. Well, hold on a second, Tim. That was my next question.
Oh, okay. Well, pause on that. But I just remember we had good seats because we were up high, but we were like stage left, so Gordon side, right? And we're beautiful vantage point. I'm chilling out watching the show, and then we got a good group of people, but we're kind of spread out. This is late in the night, second set. They play two sets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember. Turn around and be like, where's Jeff? And I look at Jeff, and you're sitting, nobody around you, like everyone else had gone off to get, to buy food or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're sitting there, sitting up real straight, and you had your arms crossed tight in front of you, kind of almost forearms flexed. Mm-hmm. Big smile on your face. Tears streaming down your face.
No.
Yes. Fully having a trippy crying moment during the show. But you were loving it.
These things happen.
It was a smile. They were tears of joy.
Okay. Wow.
Here we go. Here's the next one. What article of clothing does drummer John Fishman wear for each show?
Moo-moo.
Yay, Jefferson.
Every show he wears a moo-moo?
He wears, yeah, you know that pattern that's like the blue with the red
with the
circles
red
on it?
Circles.
Yeah. That's like he's worn that or something like it for.
That's cool.
Yeah, like a house dress type of thing. Okay. Approximately how many times have I seen Fish?
35.
No, 14.
Yep. I don't really know, but I say around 30.
Wow. Holy shit. When was the first one?
The first one was in 96, I think. At Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
SPAC? You know, yep. I saw...
The encore was Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin was one of the encores.
I saw Jackson Browne at SPAC 2 summers ago.
Ah, yes. Okay, here's kind of a multi-choice thing. Phish has done several multi-day festivals. Tell me which one on this list is a real one.
Ooh.
Baker's Dozen.
Hold on a second. I'm going to name a few, and you tell me which one's the real one.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The Vonda Hoda. The Antelope Valley Hop. The Makasupa Run. Or the Great Went.
Jesus.
Vonda Hoda.
Wrong.
Can you say them again? Like, I can't even remember one of these, let alone like four.
The Vonda Hoda.
Uh-huh.
The Makasupa Run.
Uh-huh.
Antelope Valley Hop, The Great Went.
Makasupa Run.
Nope.
Fuck.
Well, Antelope Valley Hop is more, it feels more of a Frank Zappa thing. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
So what's left?
The Great Went.
Great Went!
Does anyone get that? You can't give that to Tim.
Yeah.
No one gets that. That was such a mess.
You can't.
And none of those are real. Like, Antelope Valley Hop isn't anything. I just made that up. They play at Antelope Valley, but Makasupa Run, Vonda Hoda, I made it up. Great Went, though. Tim, remember that video you sent us of the bathtub gin jam?
Yeah.
It was from the Great Went, the Went
the
jam.
The Great Went. I was like picturing that YouTube video and thinking, the Vonda Hoda. Wait, did you just come up with the sounds Vonda Hoda from nowhere? It sounds real.
Yeah, I just came up with it.
Wow.
Maybe it is real. Maybe I'm grabbing it from something. Makasupa Run is a mix-up of Run Like an Antelope and Makasupa Policeman, which are songs. And Antelope Valley is just where they play.
And The Great Went was sort of like a cast member of Cheers.
Yeah.
He really was a Great Went when you think about it.
The Great Went is a reference to a line in Fire Walk With Me.
Oh.
Yeah. The line is, I'm not Jacques, I am the Great Went.
Oh, it's a very Lynchian reference, I understand.
Yeah, I was watching Fire Walk With Me recently, and I noticed some sort of overlap with Twin Peaks. I think they might be in the same Lynchiverse.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. We got 4-3. 4-3. Because no one got that last point.
Great.
You should both know this. You're going to really have to be the first one to say it. What Phish song have we covered?
Susie Greenberg.
Fuck. That's right. That's right.
I knew it. My lips just weren't moving fast enough.
And the final question. Jeff, you can't win unless you want to make this a double point.
Do you, Jeff? Do you want to make it a double point?
Actually, triple point, because then you'll win, and I don't have any bonus questions.
What? So wait, so...
If you get this, it's a triple point, and you win.
But if Tim gets it, he beats me by even more?
That's right.
That's a tough one.
That's bad.
That's tough. I'll take the risk.
Okay, you want it to be a triple point.
It's a triple point.
Okay. Name this tune.
Oh, shit.
Welcome, this is a... Farmhouse.
Ooh, Jeff. You lost by a lot.
Oh, I knew that was going to happen.
You lost. You know that song, Jeff.
No, I don't.
Farmhouse, of course you know Farmhouse.
No, I don't.
I beg to differ, you absolutely do.
Well, I guarantee you know it now. This is going to come up and you are going to, yeah, I know that song because I lost so
bad. It's going to burn me for the rest of my life.
You're not going to live that one down. It's going to haunt you.
Well, I don't know. I thought that was fun.
Mike, that was a very fun quiz, and Phish for me is right in that zone where I don't know what I would know. You know, it's like there's certain things you just pick up by osmosis, but you just don't know.
Sure. Sure.
Well, hey, that was a good quiz, Mike.
Thank you.
When you introduced the quiz, I said, what's Mike going to ask? And I thought for sure you were going to ask me, what is the name of Trey's rock opera? And I was going to say Stonehenge.
You've been Gamehenge.
No!
Gamehenge. I'm glad I didn't ask it. I'm just
Thank
glad.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
He did the music for a Broadway show once called Hands on a Hard Body. It was about the
oh yeah,
I think that contest where you keep a hand on a car and the winner.
Oh, I heard that movie was great. Yeah.
The movie I think was good. I think the musical kind of flopped, but well. Okay, well, that's the quiz.
Great quiz.
Great quiz. And I feel like, Mike, I know you better, and like the listener gets a little bit of insight into each of us guys.
Thank you.
Know me, come in here and know me better, man. What's that from?
That's Christmas Carol, baby.
Muppets Christmas.
Christmas Carol quiz. Yep. That'd be good.
Not yet.
Yeah, next week.
I think it's time to wrap this thing. Speaking of Christmas, get the presents wrapped up and send this off to Santa's helper and get it out to the people.
Yes, those little elves are standing there waiting to get it all sent off.
Their pink little fingers wiggling, waiting for that gift of a podcast to be
Them wants to be a dentist, but the rest of them are more than happy to work in the workshop.
What? What?
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And check us out on Patreon, where you can subscribe and you get a whole nother show every week. That's called The Sloppy Boys Blowout. And it's not about cocktails so much. We do movies and albums and ostensibly books. We haven't gotten to a book yet.
We're working on it. We're reading the Cliff's Notes.
Yeah.
That's patreon.com/thesloppyboys. Guys, any last words?
I wanted to say, you know, buzz, 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 spring has sprung.
Yeah, spring has sprung. That's a good point. Make this a spring drink for you and all your friends.
And hey, make the honey syrup ahead of time.
Yes.
See you next week.
Later.
Come in and show me feathers, Dan.
What? Charles Dickens, you have to rewrite that line.
Come in and lend me your leather, man.